speaker is Dr. Sarit
Golub.
She is associate professor in the Department of Psychology at Hunter College of City University of New York and is the chair area head of the Basic and Applied Social Psychology doctoral program at CUNY Graduate Center. Dr. Golub directs the Hunter HIV/AIDS research team, HART, and is PI of a PrEP messaging project and a PrEP demonstration implementation project being conducted at Callan Lord Community Health Center in New York City. Her presentation is entitled Getting It, Social Economic Status Differences in PrEP Accessibility and Comprehension of PrEP Messages. Dr. Golub.
Thank you. As Jose said, this is the we're just building on each other.
Yes.
It's awesome. I have no disclosures. Before I start, I just want to say thank you to my amazing collaborators and students, especially my doctoral student, Christy Gamrell, who's sitting in the back of the room, to NIH for funding the work that I'm going to show you today, and to the participants who gave their time and energy to our work. And so, why does health messaging matter? And I mean, I think that the first two presentations definitely lead into this idea. The impetus for the work that I'll share with you came out of this broader question of why health messaging matters, how we can best communicate to patients about the health choices they have for both prevention and care. And in the context of PrEP, this question is particularly important because of the potential for mixed messages and questions about the presentation of PrEP to patients in terms of a lot of things that have already been discussed. Who is PrEP for? What patients should be offered PrEP? How to think about PrEP in terms of the context of a patient's broader risk profile? And truthfully, if PrEP is going to become a reality within our prevention toolbox, we need to understand how messaging factors, how we explain PrEP to patients, how we talk to patients about PrEP, once we actually do, which is part of what Jose was saying, I think, will inform both their ability to comprehend the messages that we're giving them and the acceptability of those messages. So the data I'm going to show you today are from this study called Prepare NYC, and the broader project focuses on different aspects of messaging. Today, because I only have 12 minutes, I'm just going to focus on specifically what messaging factors impact comprehension of or understanding of PrEP and acceptability. And I'm going to focus on two factors. The first one is modality. You've probably heard a lot lately about e-health and a movement toward presenting information to patients either via computer or via video. And so within this study, we created a specific informational message about PrEP, a script. And this script was either delivered by a health educator to participants, or the identical script was made into a video that participants watched. And then the other factor was risk assessment. In this study, we talked to participants about their risk using a timeline follow-back calendar interview, so a very detailed interview of their risk behavior in the past 30 days. And this risk assessment was either delivered before they received the information about PrEP or after. So the study design, we recruited MSM and transgender women in New York City. They had to be HIV negative, and they had to report at least one unprotected anal sex act in the past 30 days, so recent risk. They had a single study visit that was done in a vectorial design, but again, I'm only going to talk to you about two of the factors. Everybody got a computerized self-report survey for covariates, and then either they got this risk assessment interview first, followed by PrEP information, and then questions about comprehension and acceptability, or the order was reversed. First the PrEP information, then the risk assessment. And the two outcome variables that we were looking at was comprehension. We gave them 5 multiple choice questions based on the message, including how to use PrEP, the rationale for daily dosing, side effects, things like that. And then we asked them, how likely would you be to take PrEP if it were available for free? And the acceptability I operationalized as people who said they would definitely take it. I'm going to show you data from this study. We're almost done recruiting. This is our first 396 participants. We're going to get to 500, right, Christy? About half the sample is under 30. You can see that they are pretty well distributed in terms of race, about a third, 25%, and a third white, income, education and income, and about half of them were partnered. And just to give you a sense of their sexual behavior, in terms of their total number of sex acts, the mean, and then you can see the interquartile range because this was a highly skewed variable. And what this shows is the number of unprotected sex acts with casual partners. We did include folks who only had unprotected sex with their main partner, as data show that a lot of MSM are actually HIV infected by a person they consider to be their main partner. So key finding in comprehension, 71% of our participants got all 5 of the questions correct. Comprehension was worse among those with less education and lower income. So only 56% of low SES folks got all the questions correct compared to 82% of high SES. It was also worse among those with higher risk, and this was operationalized in terms of the number of unprotected sex with casual partners. Those who received the video message. So comprehension was better when folks received the message from a health educator than by a computer. And the effects of modality, the effects of the health educator versus the video, were exacerbated by numeracy. This is an objective measure of health numeracy. The results are identical for socioeconomic status, but I believe that the reason that the socioeconomic status differences are there are because of numeracy, so I'm showing you those data. And you can see here for high numeracy folks, the modality doesn't make a difference. It's for the folks with lower numeracy. The effects of low SES were exacerbated by risk assessment. So folks who had low socioeconomic status, when they got their assessment first, they had higher comprehension. We think this is possible that they are attending more to the message once they had it in the context of a risk assessment. And when we did a logistic regression with these factors in, each of these, having the message with the health educator, low socioeconomic status, and health numeracy were all independently associated with comprehension, such that health educator better, high numeracy better, and low socioeconomic status worse. And what this got me to thinking about was why there's this association between risk assessment and low socioeconomic status when it wasn't accounted for by numeracy, that association, that risk assessment association. And so I thought I should look at the difference in risk between the low socioeconomic status participants and high. And what you see here is these data are dichotomized at the 75th percentile of risk. So the low socioeconomic status folks are higher percentage of them report high risk behavior. However, the high SES folks report more lifetime and past year diagnosis of sexually transmitted infections. I think this goes back exactly, thank you, we'll just throw the ball back and forth, to what Jose was saying. I think what's going on is lower socioeconomic status folks are not being tested. They're not engaging in care, and they're not being tested in the same way. And what I think this impacts then is risk perception. Overall, there was no significant difference by socioeconomic status and risk perception, but I created these variables of accurate, so people who were engaging high-risk behavior and thought that they were at high risk for HIV, and people who weren't and weren't. And accuracy of risk perception is significantly higher for higher socioeconomic status folks. All right. For acceptability, 45% said that they would definitely take PrEP, 65% said that they would definitely or probably take PrEP, There was no difference in acceptability by gender identity, race, ethnicity, age, partnership status, or reported risk behavior. What there were differences in was socioeconomic status. Low SES folks were more willing in our sample to say that they would take PrEP. Higher perceived risk, so not objective risk, but higher perceived risk for HIV. And people who received the message before they received their risk assessment. So people who were doing their risk assessment in the context of PrEP, as the PrEP message, as opposed to people who are receiving the PrEP message in the context of their risk assessment, if that makes sense. We had significant interactions between risk assessment and socioeconomic status. Low SES folks who received the message first had this higher acceptability. And I think this has to do with risk perception. So here is people who are objectively low risk. When their risk perception is high, they're much more likely to want to take PrEP. And this last one is this interaction between risk perception and assessment. So folks who perceive their risk for HIV as very high, whether they have the message before or after doesn't seem to influence them. But for people whose risk perception is low, when they receive the message first, they are much more interested in taking PrEP compared to when they receive the message second. So, oh, and then if you look at this, all of these factors together predicting PrEP acceptability, the only two factors that stay in the model are receiving the message before they get this risk assessment, so hearing the PrEP message first, and higher risk perception. So I know I threw a lot of histograms at you, so let me talk for a second about what I think all of this means. Comprehension is improved, it seems like, by in-person delivery of the message, especially for those with lower socioeconomic status and lower health numeracy. So I think it is really important for us to get these messages across. Conducting a risk assessment for the patient, a personalized risk assessment, before giving them PrEP information may help with comprehension, especially for folks with lower education. PrEP acceptability seems higher among those with greater risk perception, and this risk perception in some ways may trump their objective risk. And so the question is, how do we help patients better assess their own risk? But risk assessment seems like it may help calibrate risk perception for lower risk individuals. And my overall take-home message is that PrEP implementation programs should consider doing personalized risk assessments before providing PrEP information to enhance both comprehension and also accurate appraisal that will lead to better decision-making about PrEP. Next steps, right, this is always a Sisyphusian task. We're continuing to collect more data, and I do want to look at more interaction terms, which we need more power to do. Jose's laughing at me. So we can do more sophisticated regression models, but the real issue is that application to a real-world setting. And so the other project that I have going on right now is called Spark. It is a PrEP implementation demonstration project. It's the first one in New York City. We're very proud. It's being done in collaboration with Callan Lord. It includes we're testing a PrEP decision-making intervention to see how that influences uptake. And we're also testing an adherence support intervention for folks who decide to take PrEP. And we really are focusing within this project on ecological validity. How do you create a PrEP project within a community health center that is fully embedded within the workings of the health center and draws upon those strengths? I just want to leave you with one quote, which is one of my favorites, and I think contextualizes the ways in which we need to think about risk assessment for folks. The presentation of self is a moral enterprise, with the confession a core aspect of self-discipline. Accounts of oneself to others, to doctors, to researchers, create images of self which are situated within and reproduced by different contexts or discourses of social acceptability. Accounts of risk management are risk managed. And this, to me, is a cautionary tale. Yes, we need to do risk assessments for patients, but we need to think about the ways in which they will be risk managing their accounts to us of their own risk management. Thank you.
Excellent presentation. Questions?
Yeah, very interesting. Two questions about the health educator. How long was the session compared to the video? And if the script was that exactly the same, did the health educator deviate from the script or answer questions?
So we did QA to make sure that they actually said the script. However, they were allowed to respond to questions and to have a back and forth because that's part of why a person is better than a video, right? Because it can do that. And the sessions did take, the videos took on average 6 minutes to watch. The sessions took on average 8 minutes. And what we analyzed was the percentage of people who asked questions, and it was about half asked questions, and the questions were things, clarification questions, which we think were important. But the other thing that was really interesting is a lot of them were like processing type questions, people repeating things back and then the health educator being like, yes, that's right. Or personalization questions, people saying things like, so for somebody who's a top, this might be less important than for somebody who's a bottom. Like, so, you know, things in which they were really taking the message into their own lives, which I think they might not have been doing with the computer. Yeah.
Did you see any differences between the people who asked those sort of personalized questions and those who asked questions that you could possibly
do? So we're in the midst now of just coding them, and then we'll create a data set that will allow us to look at that. But so now I don't have those data. But yes, that's exactly what we want to do.
Any more questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.